Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon, and I'm very excited because we actually have a really cool roundtable of people here today. So we invited Brandon back. Welcome back, Brandon.
Woo!
And then we also have Richard and Joanna Alberon here too. So welcome to the show.
Man.
Hello.
Woo! Hi. Thanks for having us.
Man. All right, we actually had to convince Joanna. She was here to support Richard, and then we said, Joanna, you need to come on too. So kind of pulled her leg, and she's on. We don't know if she said she might say something, but she might not. But that's okay. We told her, if you feel like you want to say something, go for it. But wanted to introduce her so that people aren't like, who's that female voice that's coming on, right? So anyway, we are continuing on this series on the Serving Challenge, and we were very fortunate because we had Pastor Sam come back and share a message on this week's chapter, which is availability.
Woo.
And I wanted to start this episode off by giving people a chance to hear some of the responses that we had to a question that Pastor Sam had. So during the sermon, he showed a picture from the Serving Challenge, which were a bunch of ways that the author says that we can be practical about how to slow down, because the chapter on availability is really about being available for God and slowing down some of the things that we're doing. And so he had a picture, and there's a list of probably 10 to 15 things on there. And he asked, okay, turn to your neighbor and tell them what the most difficult thing on the list is for you. So I thought that might be a good place for us to start. So I'll go first to give everyone a chance to think. But for me, the hardest one on there was slow down and talk to a neighbor that you haven't talked to in a long time. Okay, so I'm going to say this. The reason that was hard was because I've been living at my house for 10 years. I don't think I've ever had a real conversation with any of my neighbors. So to say, have a conversation with a neighbor you haven't talked to in a long time, well, I've never talked to really any of my neighbors, so that would be really hard.
You definitely would need an icebreaker, I tell you.
Well, because it's also like, right, there's like property, home, neighbors, and then biblically like love your neighbor. It could be anybody. But I get what you're saying. For me, it was the turning off your notifications for the whole day. And I think that went circle back to the iPhone users touches their phone 2,156 times or whatever it was.
I actually wrote that in my notes. It's 2,617 times per day. But the funny thing is, you're not an actual iPhone owner.
So I was like, in my head, I was like, well, I'm an Android, so I don't count in the statistic. But I think I do. I am on my phone enough, and I've been trying to cut it out of my life for the past like 2-3 years of just reducing my screen time, not feeling the need to touch my phone. And so when that came up, and disclaimer, I was sitting in the back of the room looking at that picture on the screen. It was so tiny. So I felt like,
you're getting old.
I felt like, oh my gosh, I'm not even that old. I'm squinting to see the screen. But I think for me, yeah, it was touching the phone of just, can I go a full day without looking at my phone if I had a notification for any reason? And I'm not even on social media, right? So I don't do any of that kind of stuff, but still text messages, all these other apps, like I am very easily distracted by my phone. So it's just like, I need to put it to sleep or be in a different room with my phone and get used to that. That would be really hard for me. Yeah.
So the question?
Yeah, the question is, what's the hardest one for you?
The hardest one would have been, you know, the play a board game that takes a long time. Can't do it, man. We got to be done. Dude.
I have very differing opinions on that.
So that's why this is going to be a good episode, because we got varying viewpoints on this episode. So it's going to be a fun one.
I mean, everyone should play a long board game. I think it's a requirement of life. You do at least once.
I mean, I'll do Monopoly, okay? That takes a long time.
Very long. Too long sometimes.
But I think it's good, too, because as we were prepping for this episode, Richard was sharing with us that playing the long board games is difficult. But then he also shared that the Lord has been kind of shifting his mindset on it and helping him to remember, like, the purpose of this is to interact with the people and being that, too, and not just the game.
Yeah, 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 really. I'm big on entertainment, man. I love entertainment. And I think, like, that's one of the things that is a big distraction for me, though, in my life, though, you know? Mm. So, you know, coming around to that was, like, a big, indicator in yesterday's service too about that, you know, being distracted by so much, you know. So it's like, even you think your quiet time with God is quiet time, but it's not as bad, you know. So that was the one thing I was coming to the conclusion. So even this morning, I was like, turn off the music, you know, take some time to, you know, breathe God in, take some time, like real quiet time though, you know, not quiet time from everything else, but put the music on pause, you know, and see how long I could take, you know, to be able to do that, you know? So that was kind of a different approach this morning. So it was pretty good.
Yeah, Richard, I feel like that's something that I've really appreciated about you. And as we've grown in our relationships, just the time that you've shared about how the sermons have impacted you and how you actually try to take it into your week afterwards, right? So it's not just like, oh, I'm going to go on Sunday, listen to a message, and then go back to the rest of the week the same. But how when you hear a message and, you know, there's something that the pastor or the whoever's speaking shares a practical application, when you talk to me, it's like, oh, I tried to do this and I did this and this. And it's like, oh, man, that's so inspiring to hear how you're not just trying to hear the message as like, okay, I check my Sunday sermon box off, but it's like, okay, what did they say? How can I take what they said and let that impact my life? And I've really appreciated that about you.
I don't know. Like, I mean, I went years of just going to church, you know, and like coming out, like really hearing a message, but never really changing the aspect of it, but just hearing it. You know, you go to church and you go home and you're like, I really don't think I got anything out of that. I enjoyed the message, but I'm not changing nothing. And I think like that's what this whole season's about too, because it's like I really like when I'm impacted with something, like, dude, I want to change it. Like, I really want to change it. I'm like, man, dude, like, I really want to come out different. You know, and I want that knowledge to become experiential, you know, like you want to experience that knowledge firsthand, you know, what is the word of God saying about this, you know? So it's like, that's important. So that's why I think like my heart's changing with that, you know? So right away I'm like, okay, like, you know, what's those, because he said it was practical application. So I was like, man, okay, what you got for me? Because I'm about to do it, like, you know. So, you know, it's like, man, I was ready. Like, I was really kind of blown away by the goldfish. I was like, bro, like, come on. The goldfish is winning? Like, that's bad, bro. Like, 8 seconds. Like, that's bad.
All right, so if you weren't in service this Sunday to understand that analogy, one of the things that Pastor Sam had shared is that over the years, the average person's attention span has diminished to the point where now it's probably less than 8 seconds, right? So our attention span is less than 8 seconds. And he said, he threw up a picture of a goldfish on the screen and he said, the average attention span for a goldfish is 9 seconds. So that's where Richard said, we're losing to the goldfish because their attention span is longer than ours.
I was mad. I was dying in my seat. I was like, wow. And you could just see the goldfish just, you know, moving, like, you know. I was like, man, that's horrible.
Yeah, what I think what's really great about this series, just in general, and we've kind of all been alluding to it too, is just serving challenge. There's like this implicit call to action, right? We're learning about this. We're learning about attitude and availability. And then it's like, well, what are you going to do about it? And I think every message in itself has a design of a call to action. But I think this, particularly in the serving challenge, it's like, what do I think about these things and what am I going to do about it? Versus just going home and just, well, that was nice. Mm-hmm. And then not doing anything, right? And so I think the change of heart that Richard, that you're talking about is inspiring, where it's like you go home and you're like, I want to do this. And so like even Pastor Sam talking about like internal versus external noise, right? I think you display that so beautifully of like, I'm going to turn off some of this external noise to see what's going on in my heart, to spend some time with the Lord. And I think that's a great application. And I think this whole series even challenges me. It's like, am I making my time for the Lord? How am I spending my time and my attention? And it's hard. It's easier said than done. It's always easy in theory. But then when you're doing it, it's like, what am I doing? I'm just going on with my regular routine, right? Because your routines kind of make, you know, your relationship with God and how all that goes out. But I think this series does a really good job at, I would like to think, at forcing you to consider what you're what you're doing on the daily. And that's what I really like about this series.
Yeah, so I think that's a great intro into this week's episode, because one of the things, the theme of this week's episode is availability, right? And so that's one reason that I invited Brandon and Richard to come on, is because I wanted us to have a discussion about just some of the other places that we have served in our lives in a church context, and then also outside of a church context, because I do believe that the serving challenge, yes, we're going through it as a church, as part of a book, and yes, there are opportunities to serve at church, but you know, when it comes to attitude, availability, and some of these other themes, it's not just serving at church. It's just having the heart of a servant. And so how are we serving, yes, at church, but how are we serving our community? How are we serving our friends? How are we serving our neighbors? How are we serving, even Brandon would say, like, our enemies or things like that. How are we serving? Do we have the heart of a servant, right? And so, you know, knowing some of the background of each of us and the other contexts in which we have served, I thought it would be good for us to be able to share some of those things, because sometimes, you know, for those of us that have been coming to Catalyst for a long time, we kind of are in this little bubble of, this is what serving looks like at Catalyst. And so to see what other people have experienced in other places, I thought this would be a good opportunity for us to share. So I guess we'll start with Richard. Richard, can you share a little bit about some of your experience serving at other churches that you've been to before?
Let's see.
How about at your previous church, right? You guys were meeting at a park, right? And so what was your experience serving at the church that you guys met at the park?
We had been going to that church for, I don't know, off and on for about,
15 years.
Around 15 years, yeah, for a while. I mean, I wasn't always, you know, there all the time, but the last 8-9 years we were there, we had a building, and then we lost the building. So we served in when we had a building, and then we served when, you know, we lost the building because they didn't want to renew the contract or the lease. So we lost the building, and the building was owned by a Lutheran church. And we rented the building out to us. So once we lost that building, we started going to a park down in downtown Long Beach. And right there off, it's, what was it, off of 4th Street? Cesar Chavez Park. Down when you get on the 710. We were serving there, and we served there right at the beginning of summer. So from June on, like, we were there 3 days a week. You know, we would set up for, you know, midweek, Wednesdays, we were Fridays, and then Sunday mornings. So we would, you know, set up, break down. Sundays were the more workable days. You know, we'd get there at 8:30 in the morning. We'd be there, you know, we'd begin to set up the light work, you know. They'd set up the mics, they would set up all of the banners, then the pastor would come in his truck, and then we would take down all the chairs, 80 chairs. We would drop 80 chairs, set up the Sunday school chairs, their tables, their setup. And then we would do the nursery setup in one section of the park, set up canopies. And then we would, you know, break down. And then by the time we were done, it was either 9 o'clock or 9:30, but we tried to have prayer time before service also. So we would make sure that we were there for prayer. If we were there, we were already in usher position. So we were standing and we were praying, but we were making sure we were watching for people that were coming in. We were watching for security for the people. We were making sure like everything was set up. And then if we had visitors, we made sure that we welcomed them, make sure that they were ready. If they needed water, they needed anything, we were there. We were there for them. Anything and everything. So, and then that wasn't even including for the refreshments after service. We had set up tables there if they needed to, you know, we had donations that day. So we would bring in, they would bring in food. So then we would set up the food. So we would make sure everything was ready. And then, after service, then we would, help facilitate, the giving out of the refreshments. Then we would help facilitate donations, and then security, and just making sure the kids, they were on the park, making sure they were okay, making sure everybody was, you know, right around. I don't know. Maybe it depends on the service. Usually Sunday service were the bigger services, of course.
Yeah.
So a lot of times we could have close to, 70 to 85 people, almost 100 people. Could have been. Numbers were dropping here and there, but on a weekday service or Bible study, it was a lot shorter, about an hour. But it would go. We would get there early again, set up, break down. so, you know, it was just church. It was church in the park. You know, having Bible studies, and we always had a lot of passerbys that would stop and, you know, come and listen and stuff like that. Good opportunities to give to those people and stuff like that. So, you know, it was a really interesting aspect, because it was like sometimes it was all day events.
Yeah,
you know, and it was tiring. It was a major sacrifice.
Yeah, so setting up and tearing down 3 days a week, plus all the stuff that goes on in between, the ushering, the securities, the all just from start to finish, you're there the whole time serving.
You did not sit down. You were not sitting down. Crazy. Yeah. I mean, there was times where I would have to make myself sit down, because I'd be like, I'm in prayer right now, so I'm going to sit, you know. But it didn't last very long, because it was like, you know, you were like, man, something would come up. You know, it was either my kids, and then, you know, on top of that, because I was always watching the boys, because they were all over the place. So I was either watching them, or then I was like, you know, needed something that was out of order or out of place, and I had to fix that, or, you know, this and that, a lot of stuff. It was always something always happening. So you didn't sit down very long. So usually on days like that, you just were used to standing. So it was just like you were always going. It was nonstop. So that was like the last ministry that we came from. So it was, I mean, like,
that's a huge commitment. To do that, you know, every week, three times a week, and then, yeah, that's a huge
game. Yeah, you were tired, man. You were really tired. You know, it's a pioneering church. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
you know, you really learn what that aspect is, because it's like, you know, you really do, like, for some ministry workers in that ministry, like, did multiple ministries 3 days a week.
Yeah,
you know, and it was like, and you are susceptible to burnout. You know, it is a hard ministry. You really have to know what you're getting into, you know, understand that, you know, so, and then too, like, what they're, you know, what we were taught was, it was like, if there's a need, you know, are you going to rise up and get it? You know, are you going to take care of that need? You know, so that's what we were taught. So desire really wasn't something that was played a factor in that portion, in that season for that church was, hey, if there's a need, like, are you gonna rise up to meet that need? You know, so, but I kind of, like, learn now, too, like, is there a place in that to want a desire to do something? You know, so I think, like, that's, like, kind of a hard place to kind of put that, because it's, like, you have, I believe now that there should be a desire to want to do something. I'm learning that now. It's not just the need, you know, because it's like, hey, I want to meet that need, but I want to meet it with the right heart.
Yeah.
You know, because guess what happens? It's like we learn now that, dude, if you don't come with the right heart now, it's like, dude, you're going to get burnt out, and then you're going to get frustrated. Right. And then now you're serving out of frustration, and then it's spilling out into people. So I think to even that is like, hey, if there is a need, but is it something you want to do?
Right.
You know, that way it's freely given, you know? So I think, like, that's kind of like, I learned something new in that aspect.
Yeah. And I think that's why in the series that we're going through, the attitude chapters first, right? So it's like, we want to have that right attitude before we even talk about availability, right? Because if the heart that we're serving out of, it affects what we're doing and how people are receiving what we're doing too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
All right, Brandon, how about for you? What has serving looked like for you in past context?
The things that come to mind is before Catalyst, I was at other youth groups for multiple years. It makes me think of my college days when I was on leadership for 3 years. Oh, my gosh, that's so much time and effort. But I love those people. let's start with there. I love those people. It was just a lot of time and a lot of effort. And then it makes me think of when I was in the Boy Scouts, we have these things called service projects for, like, Eagle Project and all that stuff. And so when you're a younger scout, you're like, you have to help the older scouts with their Eagle Projects. It's like a requirement. You have to go to and help them. And so then eventually, then when you get to your turn, you're older, you do your service project.
I have a son who's doing one of those.
The Eagle Project?
Yeah. Yeah, it's in his last year.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot
Dude, it's a big old project, man. Yeah. Like, he's renovating a park.
Ooh. That's
Dude, his mom is like super like, she's gung-ho, man.
It's yeah, so it's like all the planning that's involved, the money and the budgeting and then fundraising, organizing, show up, do this thing. What happens if you don't finish, right? And so there's just so many things involved with the process that people don't see. Because like when you show up, it's like, oh, everything's, you know what you're doing. But there's so much prep before that. Mm. And so like I just think of all the, in my younger years of just helping out wherever. It was just, one, it was a requirement for Boy Scouts. But then when you get to, for me in college, in a college ministry, it was like, it was all student run. Like we had a, what are they called? Counselor? No. Oh my gosh. Staffer. We had a staffer, but they have their own lives. And so they're doing their own thing. So a lot of the leadership meetings are run by the youth, by the students. And so it's just, all right, we have this need. What are we gonna do about it? Let's talk about it. And so I've helped in different capacities. And so it's, for me, I was more on the planning prep side for most of these things of, For youth group, like you're doing it for the kids. And so, okay, who's going to speak? How are we going to have a message? Are we going to have a speaker? Are we just going to do small groups? Who's going to do worship? Are we going to have a game? And so you talk all that out and just, I don't know how many meetings I've been in that we've all been in of just planning of what to do. And so I think for me, I was always the behind the scenes guy. That's how I preferred it. And so just, I can just think of just so many different scenarios of meetings of how are we going to do this, guys? And that's just what I'm used to. And so outside of Catalyst, I don't even know where to start, where to go. I've just helped in so many different projects of just being in meetings. Okay, talking about structure, talking about follow-up, talking about what are we going to do after this? So my heart has always been in fellowship. I always like bringing people together. And so a lot of my service-based things are bringing people together. So that's kind of the heart that I come from. But I don't want to say, it's just like, I've just helped in so many planning. I help plan a lot of different things.
Okay. Well, so how about for you, you know, right now, one of the major ways that you're serving right now is with our youth, right? Yeah. So you're serving with Magnetic and the Forge, right? Mm-hmm. And so like right now we just started First Fridays last year, right? And so now it's actually moving to two weeks a month.
Right.
At this point, right? And we've had some, I guess, semi-controversy about the name because originally it was called First Fridays and it was, right, the first Friday of the month. But it's still called First Friday and the tagline is, we're putting God first on Fridays, right?
Yes.
Well, we're putting God first all the time, but yes, that's kind of the theme of the Friday nights, right? And so even though it's on more than just the first Friday, we're putting God first. Right?
Yes. Yes.
But anyway, so right now it's twice a month and that's actually more than what it was before.
Right.
But the context that you've come out of, because you grew up at Cerritos Baptist Church, right? I was one of your youth leaders.
You'll never let me forget that. Yes.
And your Sunday school teacher.
Also, you won't let me forget that either. Yes.
When you were in first grade, which makes me feel really old.
Every single time. Yep.
Wow. That's crazy,
but,
man.
But you know, when you were growing up at Cerritos, the youth group met every Friday.
Correct.
Right, and then after you graduated from high school and you were in college, and then you went back to serve, you would serve every Friday.
Every Friday.
Right?
Yeah.
So what was that like for you? And then how is it now to transition to where it's like, okay, it's once a month now, twice a month. Like, what does that look like for you?
Right. So at the time when I was serving every Friday, you have to take it serious where it's like, I'm carving out this time of my week. And so at the time in college, Friday night is like the time to hang out. Oh, let's go do whatever. We have no school tomorrow. And so every Friday, I remember in college, like, sorry, I have youth group. Like I can't go. Like this is my commitment. Right. And so every Friday, and growing up in the youth group in high school was like, you just go every Friday. That was like the thing to do. And so when I became a leader, it was like, this is just part of the culture at this time. And this is serving. And like, I would always feel bad about, oh, I'm going to go hang out with friends instead of being at the youth group with these kids. Like part of me was like, that just doesn't feel right. Like I want to be here for these youth. And so I was used to that context growing up. And then at the same time, I'm also doing college ministry and all those other things. And so switching from that to Catalyst, when I first started serving in the youth, there were no Friday nights. I was like, oh, this is weird. Like,
wow.
We just have them on Sundays? That's just odd. Like Sundays, some random events, and like retreats. It's like, oh, this is just I feel like I don't get enough FaceTime with them. I feel like I'm not getting to know them very much. And so then when they implemented First Fridays last year, I was like, oh, like this is great. Like a midweek thing. We can do this now. But there was this still like, it's only once a month. It just feels odd. It's just weird. Versus because it used to be every month for me. And then now we're having it twice a month. I was like, oh, this is great. It's not the same, but it's like, this is great that I get to see them midweek and not just on a Sunday setting. Right. So at least for youth, I know it's like, oh, my parents aren't here. I can kind of be a little bit more relaxed. So I know that those Fridays are like really big for youth groups. And so for me to get to know them on that level. And so now that I'm older, I can stay up later. But then it's like, oh, they're all leaving at 10. That doesn't feel very late to me. But then they're all, and so it's like, oh, I wish.
Just wait till you get older and you're like, man, 10 is so late. Okay, yeah.
So
for real, you're like, man, the sun's going down.
Right? Counting my blessings while I have them, right? And so it's like, I like being able to be with them on Fridays and kind of serve them to that capacity. And I think we're still getting our legs in a certain degree, but I think Brett's doing great. I think the way that Jerry and the youth are, how they're structuring is really good. But yeah, I'm just used to serving every Friday where it's mm-hmm. like, this is my commitment. And like, they come first. I'm choosing to be here as volunteer staff. Like, I enjoy doing this. And so that's why I've done it for however many years I've done it. And so it was a weird transition at first where like I had more commitment before, but now it's less. So with that in mind, it's like, oh, now that I have less time with them than I would at my other church, I'm going to make that time as useful as I can to have fun with them or to ask them certain questions or to, you know, how's your week going and following up with them. And so I think for me, I think we right now, it would be hard to do it every week just with how everything is going right now. But I like that we have how it is now where it's like, yeah, I want to be here. And the commitment is super crazy. So when I was talking with Brett, he asked for availability every year. And so at first I was going to do 2 Sundays a month with the youth instead of just 1 Sunday a month. But then when we had First Fridays, it's like, oh, I'm now going to go back to 1 Sunday a month and 2 First Fridays. Mm-hmm. And part of that was just boundaries for me of like, I don't want to overdo it because mm-hmm. I need to be fed too on my Sunday mornings. And so there are a lot of times at church when I'm helping with the youth and like some guest speaker comes, it's like, oh, I have to watch the recording. It's not the same. It's the same, but it's not the same. And so it's like that, but that's a commitment that I'm choosing. Mm-hmm. And so that's the boundaries that I'm trying to make. And so, transitioning from what it was to what it is, I'm very happy. I'm very glad. But it's also like, I feel like there's more. I could be doing more for the youth, you know? And so I like what I do. I've always loved what I do. And so I feel like because I think we've all burned out to a certain degree in certain areas of our life. And it sucks. Burnout. So if you've never experienced burnout, try not to just because it sucks. It's just emotionally, physically, mentally, it's like, I just don't feel good and I don't feel well. And so I think, and I've been there, it's serving in other places. It's like, I definitely did too much and I didn't protect myself. And I think that's important too. But,
yeah, I think too, like you start asking your question, like, am I supposed to want to do this?
Right.
Dude,
right.
You start asking that question. It's like, bro, you need to,
do I want to go? Do I want to be
yeah.
Here?
Because yeah. You know, like the problem is it's like, dude, like if you're, you know, you're supposed to want to do something, but you don't want to do it anymore. You know, it's like you gotta bring some attention to God.
Right. Know? Or just having that conversation with God of like, what changed? I used to like this, but now like, okay, what's
dude,
what's
I don't
want to
do this anymore. And there's in every ministry though, no matter what you're doing, you're gonna come to a point where it's just some days it is a sacrifice.
Yeah.
It's just gonna feel that way. I don't care how much you wanna do it. 100%. It's just some days it's just gonna be like, today's a sacrifice today. You know, it's gonna be that way, you know, but your heart's still in it.
Right. Right.
You know, that's the difference. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some days, you know, it's going to be hard, but I think when you get to that point where you're just like, dude, I'm dreading it.
Yeah. That's a little different.
Oh my God. You know? Mm-hmm. And it was like, in that last ministry, it was just like, I'm tired. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to be here. I'm not even getting anything out of anything anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think like, that's why, like I am the way I am right now, but I'm so fired up. Like, God has lit my heart on fire again. Like, I think about it. It makes me want to cry. Like, dude, because it's like, I'm learning again. Mm. You know, I'm growing again. Like, mm-hmm. God put some wind in my sails, man. Like, you know, and it's just like, I don't know. You ever just kind of feel like you're in a place where you're like, you're just like, I don't know if this is possible right now, mm-hmm. you know? But then like when you come to that place, like you're like, dude, I'm ready, mm-hmm. you know? And you're just like, dude, with God, all things are possible. You know, my heart is in it again. My heart's here. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I want, mm-hmm. you know? And I don't know. I don't wish that for nobody, you know, to come to that place where, like, you don't want to do nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, burnout is dangerous, man. You mm-hmm. know, we're limitations. That's just really what it is, you know? And I would imagine, like, you know, some people, you know, they serve and serve and serve, but there's nothing being poured into them.
Right, that's huge.
Oh, my yeah. God. You know? And I think that's so, like, crucial, mm-hmm. especially in our culture.
Right.
You know, Western culture is jacked. I always say that. You know, it's messed up, you know, because we're always wanting to give and or we're supposed to do and, you know. But God's like, you know, it's like, what was that analogy that, you know, Pastor Barry was talking about? You know, you spend time and get shine on you, mm-hmm. you know, the right. shine aspect, you know. And it was like, man, so that, you know, you're going to pour into other people. Mm-hmm. You know, that's so important. So, yeah, burnout's dangerous, man. That's hard.
I think I would add on to that. There's a responsibility of the person serving to recognize that. Like, hey, I'm getting kind of tired. Or, like, maybe the fire's not there as much and kind of being able to communicate that. And there's also a slight responsibility on leadership to recognize, hey, we're not putting too much on you. I know we're going to get into that. But, like, I think there's, like, the leadership or staff point of view of, like, hey, how are you doing? Are you okay? Like, do you feel good? Is there any way that we can help you, pray for you? How's everything at home, personal life? And I think that's really helpful being a servant of, like, oh, they're looking out for me too. Mm-hmm. Like, of course, there's, like, that personal ambition, that personal desire to serve and do these things. But I think there's a little bit on leadership. And I think they do a Catalyst Leadership does a good job at, like, you know, how are you doing? Are you okay? And I know we're going to get into that a little bit later. But again, like, in terms of serving once a month and, like, the commitment level. But no, to your point of, like, it does take a little bit of maturity to be like, hey, I'm not feeling okay. Maybe I need a little time off, and setting some of those boundaries to prevent burnout, to prevent those moments. And I don't want to say desperation, but sometimes it's those moments that's like, okay, I need to stop or I need to slow down. But yeah.
Which I think is, you know, a good reason that, or good reason is probably not the right wording, but, you know, having Pastor Sam be the one talking about availability right. is so significant because, right, sometimes we do things out of obligation because we're afraid of what other people are going to think about us right. or our performance. It's like, oh, if I don't do this, then people are going to look down on me, or if I don't fulfill my obligation, or so I just have to keep pushing through. I keep pushing through, which leads to the burnout, right? And it's like sometimes we just need to recognize that the Lord loves us and that our community loves us to the point where we can take that time off, right? And
right.
We're not a burden on someone else because we're taking that time off. We're recognizing that, you know, we need it. We need that. We need some of those boundaries, right? And so I think it is significant that Pastor Sam is the one that shared this message with us on availability, because I do feel like, you know, we do have a burnout culture in Western society where it's just like go until you're kind of done,
right?
Right? And so for him to be the one sharing it, and because of his, you know, work and research and the ways that the Lord has been speaking into him about the importance of not getting our value from our performance and getting our value from what other people think, it gives us that freedom and that space to be able to say, yeah, I need some time. I need to have a better boundary for myself. I need to be able to take a step back. And that's not going to say anything about, like, I'm less valuable because I need that. Because really, everybody needs that.
Right.
And then to say, yes, you know, there is a need. How can I help to step in? Because this is a way I could show that I care.
Right.
Yeah.
For this person, right? This is a way that I can do that. And so even with our availability chapter, you know, a big part of it is the intentionality.
Right.
The intentionality of being available, but also the intentionality of recognizing, oh, that person's been going hard for a long time. maybe I should step in for a season to, you know, help them out or give them some space so that they can take some time to care for themselves and get charged up, get excited again.
Yeah. 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 Not only that too, is like, I think what happens when you do that too is you get a different perspective, I think.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, you can reassessment and reapproach that, you know, and come at it different, you know, I think too. Because God will fix our vision, yeah. You know, definitely, you know.
And I think that's a big part of what he was sharing yesterday is like, yeah, God will fix our vision, but are we giving him the space to do it? Right. Or are we just so busy, right, that there's no space, there's no margin for us to be able to allow the Lord to fix our vision because we're so set on having the vision this way.
Right.
Just so many things come to mind, though, man, when he was talking about that. You know, he was like, when he just talked about, like, when he was taking his walks, when he first started doing that, during that, oh, my God. He was like, he said, I was for a long time. And he looked at his watch. He said, 5 minutes. I was like, wow, that's crazy. He's just like, man, he was so busy. Mm-hmm. You know, he was just like, I like how he was saying that he was a maximizer. Mm. You know, because he just fulfills every moment to get something done. He has to be productive, you know. And then he brought out like how that was a lie.
Right.
You know, we got to accomplish so much or we got to be doing this to do that. The busier you are, you know, the more productive you get done. But you're really just busy. Mm-hmm. That's it, you know? And it's like, dang, dude, like, I think that's sad. That's sad, you know? Because it's like, being busy isn't fulfilled,
right?
It's really not, you know? And me and Joanna were reading the devotional for this morning. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of 2 days in, but we were reading the one from, he was talking about like Christmas, you know, day 13 or 14 or whatever. And he was talking about that, you know, being busy, mm-hmm. you know, he's like, are your days filled, but are they fulfilled? Mm-hmm. And I was like, dude, that's crazy. Like, you know, so being busy isn't really anything, you know, and it really makes you want to go. I do want to stop, you know, being slow is safer anyway.
Cause a lot of that reminds me of just efficiency. And Pastor Sam talked about that too, where I love efficiency. I love, you know, groceries from your car, one trip. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that's a good feeling. I don't have to go back and forth all these times, but I think it's like, why do I feel the need to feel efficient so that I can get more done so that I can do more and just rush my day and fill it with more things, right? And so it really challenged me to think of, like, do I have to be efficient? And there's a lot of things, especially biblically, that aren't necessarily efficient, right? So let's say, like, relationships. I was thinking about this on the drive over. So Damon, so you've known me since I was in first grade. And so that's like...
Actually, I've known you longer than that, but whatever, I was your Sunday school teacher in first grade. Okay,
so all to say, we've known each other for a long time. We won't put a number on it. We've known each other for a while. And I think... Okay, I don't know if I told you this. My first impression of you, I was very intimidated by you.
When you were in first grade or later?
Even later. And so, like, up to high school, I was, like, very intimidated by you. So I wouldn't really talk to you. I wouldn't really, like, ask you any questions. Some of my first memories of you, you were very strict with me. And so I was like...
I was? I don't
know. Okay, anyway, this is how I take it. So, but all to say, right, like, I've known Damon for a long time, right? But then ever since coming to Catalyst and all these different reasons and then serving with him... Now, I would say we're a lot closer now than we were when we were both younger. And so I think, I would say, in terms of time, it wasn't very efficient. There's kind of like this exponential relationship growth, right? And so I think it's all to say, like, if I wanted to efficiently be friends with someone, there's no real method, right? It just takes time. It takes intentionality. And I think as we've grown closer in our friendship, or... I see it as friendship. You may see it as differently. But
friendship, good. Brandon.
Okay. Shut the kid. Okay. So, like, all
no
this
student
say,
is greater than his master. Yeah.
But, like, all this say, right, like, love and that kind of growth, it takes time. It's slow. It's just the moments of intentionality. Like, and it's not to say every time that Dave and I see each other, we're becoming better friends. But it's like, it just takes time. And so when we're talking about busyness and we're talking about like a lot of things in the Bible, they're not necessarily efficient. And so why do I feel the need to have to do everything perfectly? And so to move that into your daily life of slowing down, do I have to be efficient? No, not necessarily. I want to live a life, a day fulfilled. And so does that come at speed? Not always, but very often not.
I think more quality, I think.
Right.
You know, I think like we miss that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things more quality. And I think like that's what Sam was saying too. He was just like, I have a different way of, you know, fulfilled. Mm-hmm. You know, he's maximizing, but he's like, your way of maximizing is different from mine. Mm-hmm. He said, that's what God told him.
Right.
You know, and it's just like, wow, okay. I want to see what God thinks.
Right.
You know, and I think like that really spoke to my heart a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, because he said that when he was listening to a podcast and he's like, you're hearing them talk about me, but why don't you just hear from me? I was like, blown away, man. Like, wow. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
You know, and it just like hit home. And it's mm-hmm. like, you know, because we're always thinking like, how can I get more?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can I get more? But God's like, you get the most.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Get it from right here.
Right.
You know? So that's what I thought. But that was good.
Yeah, I actually had a very similar experience one time. So for me, right, I've shared on the podcast before that a lot of time that I spend with the Lord is when I run, right? So I used to run with headphones, and people nowadays tell me that I'm crazy that I don't run with headphones, but I had a very significant time. And I to this day, I remember where I was, and I remember, like, yeah, it was a longer run, and it was at night, and I had my headphones on, and I was listening to music, and then I felt like the Lord said, take your headphones out. And I was like, why? Like, I'm enjoying my run and enjoying, like, my music. And, you know, it was worship music, too. So I was like, oh, it's worship music. It's good. And he said, like, do you want to have filters for my voice? Or do you want to hear from me directly? And I was like,
wow.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to have a filter, right? Like, this is someone else's experience that you're listening to in this worship song of me. Like, do you want to hear their experience of me? Or do you want to experience me yourself? And I was like,
Oh,
and then so I ran with my headphones in my hand the rest of the way home.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, so in a similar way, it was very significant. Like, oh, I do feel like there are times where it's like, yeah, we're doing good things. We're listening to a lot of sermons or a lot of podcasts, we're reading a lot of books. We're reading our Bible all the time, right? And we're hearing other people's experience of the Lord. And what if it's like the Lord wants to give us that experience of himself directly? Right. And so it's not just like, oh, I'm reading about Brandon's experience. I'm hearing about Brandon's experience with God. It's like,
right.
No, God wants to give me an experience of him myself. And so, yeah. So I think that sometimes, and so it also depends on where you are. Right.
Sure.
So if you're doing nothing, yeah, listening to podcasts is great. Listening to sermons is great. But then also, are you creating space for the Lord to speak to you directly yourself too?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's crucial.
Yeah,
definitely.
But sometimes it's just seek the Lord for what he wants, because maybe he wants to use the podcast and the sermons and the other things too to speak to you during that season, right?
Yeah, not so that those things are bad.
Right, yeah.
Not
yeah.
Those things are bad, or like, you know, hey, you got to have a specific time for them. But yeah, I mean, I listened to, you know, a few of the podcasts, you know, and Catalyst and stuff like that too, and God spoke to my heart.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I mentioned one about Damon and Kyle, like, you know, they had one and it blew my socks off, you know? And it was a shorter one, as a matter of fact, too. So, you know, that was really good, you know. And I was always looking to try to, you know, get more, you know, like, God, I need you to speak to my heart. God, I need to deal with this issue. Like, what is it that you want from me? Like, you know, what more do I need, or do I have to do this or do that? You know, and it's like, you know, now it's like in this season, God's like, just stop, you know, just stop. You know, and for us right now, you just, for me and Joanna, it's, you know, I'm thinking about it because I want to serve. I want to get my hands dirty. I want to try and do something for God. You know, I want more, but God's like, I think God's waiting, mm-hmm. you know, because it's like, yeah, you could jump right in, but for some reason, like, God's like, hey, you know, this season right now, I want you to, I want you to receive right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's some heart change that needs to happen.
Right.
You know, there's some things like I was saying, you know, God's lighting the fire. Mm. You know, God's lighting the fire, you know, and my heart is just excited, you know, excited for those things. So when the time comes, God's going to lead you in a direction that we need to go.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so that's pretty cool. So.
And I think that's one thing that I really appreciate about Pastor Barry and his heart too for our church is a lot of times when, you know, we know people are coming in that might have been burnt out at previous churches or things like that. He's not in a rush to be like, oh yeah, they were serving so much at this other church. Like, let's bring them in. Let's get them to serve right away. Right.
Yeah. But they got the experience,
but it's like, no, we recognize like we want them to be able to receive from the Lord. We want them to be able to, you know, be a part of our church family, feel like family first, give them a chance to, you know, take some time to see what the Lord's, what the season is that the Lord has them in and not put pressure on like, okay, you got to serve, you got to do this, you got to do that. Right. But wait on the Lord's timing for them to be able to serve. Right. So, I mean, I'm excited for when the Lord releases you, Richard, to be able to serve, because it's cool to see how he's really lighting that fire. Cause you know, you'd shared at the previous place, you'd felt burnt out because of all the serving and all the obligation and, oh, we just got to do it. We got to step up, fill the needs and things like that. And now it's like hearing you, it's like, man, you're excited for the time that the Lord is releasing you to be able to serve. And that's a totally different place to be in.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's going to be a place where, you know, like I want to,
mm-hmm.
you know, I want to, you know, and I'm excited to what God's going to do, you know, to be that vessel, you know? So, you know, I'm ready. Like, you know, whenever God wants, like, you know, so, but I'm content too right now because I'm like learning the things I need to learn right now, you know, need to grow in areas that I need to grow in right now, you know, be familiar with those I'm going to serve next to,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever the case might be, like God has us planted in a beautiful place right now, you know, so.
Something I do want to add, it's a slight tangent of what we're talking about, is I think I just want to throw a caution out there of like, I don't want people to compare other journeys with themselves,
because mm-hmm.
it really leads to just the deterioration of joy and because Richard's going through all these things, I need to be more like Richard. It's like, no, like Damon is serving all these different places. I need to be like, no, like it's really, because that was something that was hard for me. And I know people that have struggled with that, where it's like, Brandon, you're doing all these things and I look at you and I'm not doing any of that. And then that pulls them away from the Lord. And it's like, I'm sorry, that wasn't my intention. And so I think I just want to throw out that cautionary voice of, it's between you and the Lord. It's between your relationship with him, and allow other people to serve you to help you usher you on that journey. Right. But it's like, I don't want people to compare themselves and mm-hmm. look at, oh, all these other people are serving, I have to serve. Maybe you don't have to serve because you're just not the season for you. And that's very okay. And I think some people get in that mode of like, oh, they're going to have this ministry fair, I have to do this because everyone else is doing it. It's like, no, you don't have to. We want to encourage you to, because that's where your heart is. That's what God's ushering you through. But at the same time, it's like, you don't have to compare yourself to other people and what they're going through, because that's their journey with what God is convicting them with. And they're just in a different season of life, and that's okay. And so I just don't want people to feel like everyone has to serve right away at the church or in these other places. And so I just want to kind of throw that out there, just because it can be tough, and I know it sucks.
And I think that's a big reason why this chapter on availability, the focus is to slow down.
Right.
Right. Because I think a lot of times we're so pressured to do stuff.
Right.
When really it's like, okay, I need to slow down and I need to seek the Lord. Like, what do you want? What season am I in right now?
Right.
And where do you want me to be? Right. Right. So right now, Richard even shared, right? Like this season, he's like, I'm ready to go. And the Lord's like, no, you need to receive right now. Like right. Now is not the time to go.
Right.
Now is the time to receive. Now is the time to learn, to grow. And it's good, but I'm not releasing you yet. Right. And so sometimes there's that. And then sometimes it's like, no, you've been sitting on your butt doing nothing for a long time. You should have been doing this before.
Right.
Like,
sure.
So yeah. Everyone's in a different place, but right. That's why we need to slow down so that we can seek the Lord and create that space for him to speak into us. Like, this is what I want for you during this season that you're in right now.
Right. And I think adding to that, availability is twofold. Where am I available to serve? Where is the Lord calling me? But there's also the availability of allowing other people to serve you in the space that you need, in the timing that you need. And being humble and aware of that, of like, yeah, I really need to be poured into because I'm not, I'm feeling disconnected. I'm feeling estranged from certain people or whatever it is, like allowing other people to serve you. And that can also be hard too, just culturally or personally. Like, no, I want to do all these things for other people, but no, let other people do things for you and accepting that with grace. And I think that's really hard too. And
that's, I think it was important though too, because it's like, you know, Pastor Barry asked me one time, you know, what did you say? He says, where do you feel that the Lord is leading you to do? And I'm like, think about that, you know? So it caused me to go and ask the Lord, like, you know, this is where I really feel like God is leading me to do. These are ministries I want to do. You know, I'm going to be a voice for God. Okay. In what way? You know, so then you start to get into, then that's when you start to like research the areas that you want to get into. So it's going to God and asking him. So for those that are listening, like, hey, like, have you asked that question yet? Where do I feel that God is leading me to serve, or if to serve?
Right.
Should I do it at church or some aspect in my life? You know, in my past ministry, Joanna would take some of the older women food. You know, she would take care of the elderly at times. She'd go to their house and she would take them food or take them, give them rides to church or whatever the case was. It was like, you know, she would serve in that aspect. So, you know, it doesn't always have to be at church, but where is God leading you? So that should be the question, is like, and I asked one of my daughters that question too. She's older now, you know, and I asked her that question. I said, where do you feel the Lord is leading you? Mm. You know, in or out of church? And she goes, you know what, Dad, that's a good question. You know, and she's old enough, she's goes to church and stuff like that. So, you know, and she's like, let me get back to you on that. So I hope that it has the same impact on her that it had on me. You know, so I think like those that don't know yet, are they asking the Lord that question?
Yeah, and you know, we are talking about serving from a church perspective, but like we said, the heart of a servant, it doesn't just only apply to being at church. How are we going to serve at church, right? It's also, are we serving those around us? Are we serving in our families? Are we serving in our household, right? Are we serving, you know, it's not just in the context of, okay, yes, God wants us to serve at church, right? But it's like God wants to cultivate this heart of a servant. Because Jesus didn't just serve, you know, in the synagogue, right? It's like he was serving all the people that were around him. He was serving the little kids. He was serving the his enemies. His neighbors and his enemies. Right?
Yeah.
His neighbors and his enemies, right? Right? Like in the Pride, you know, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about Jesus serving the Samaritan woman, right? And it's like at that time, the Samaritans and the Jews were kind of at odds with each other. And he served this woman, right? Men didn't serve women at that time either, especially out in public. Right. And Jews didn't serve Samaritans, but he served her. Right. And so because of his heart, he had the heart of a servant. He's serving, you know, even the people he's not supposed to. Right. And so as we're cultivating this and as we're talking about this, it's not just serving at church, but it's are we cultivating this heart of a servant so we can be like Jesus?
He was straight counterculture.
Yeah.
He was straight counterculture. Yep. Dude, everything he did was just like, what are you doing? They were mad at him, man. They were mad at him.
And I think it's cool to hear stories like, Richard, you're talking, you're giving flowers to Joanna, right? For, you know, driving the elderly ladies or dropping off food or things like that. Just it shows her heart, right? The heart that she has for other people. And, you know, it's God's heart for them too, right? And she's being the vessel to show God's love to those other people. I think that's awesome. I think that's awesome. I'm looking at Joanna. I think you're awesome, Joanna.
Thank you.
Your heart for that is awesome. And she was sharing earlier when we were prepping about, you know, sometimes they'll invite people over to have a meal with, you know, after church on Sundays, and just being available for that each week. It's like, man, that's such an awesome heart that you have to, you know, open up your home and do those things for people. And, you know, just shows the heart of a servant, right? And it's not something that's, you know, super glamorous or super like in front of everybody, but it's just part of your heart. And so Joanna, inspiring.
Yeah, she loves to cook, man. She does. She loves to cook. And she's good at it, too. I was going to see if she was going to say anything, but she didn't say anything.
Wink, wink. You know, like, you can always invite some other people over to her.
I mean, no, I cooked
No pressure. No pressure.
I cooked last Friday. Everybody said they enjoyed it. They enjoyed it. Yeah.
Yeah, in a small group. Yeah.
They were like, good. That's a big feast.
What'd you make?
I made some like chicken soup with like a tomato chicken soup with potato, a little bit spicy. I didn't want to make it too spicy because I wasn't sure how spicy were people able to eat, you know? So just lightly spicy. And then I made some banana cake from scratch and flan.
Ooh, flan.
Oh, gosh. Dude, nice. It was fire. It was fire.
So that's what I made.
And it was good because it was cold that whole week. So yeah. It was like, man, I like this week. It's all hot. Jeez, man. Weather's messing me up.
But yeah, so, you know, as we're talking about serving and being available, it is, you know, we are talking about church. And we, like Brandon keeps saying, we're going to have a ministry fair coming up.
I'm not saying, I'm just repeating what you guys are saying. You guys are just telling me I'm just being more vocal about it.
You know? So we will have a ministry fair coming up, but really, this whole series is really just about cultivating our heart and taking a look at what it looks like to be a servant, right? And so, yes, contextually, there are opportunities to serve at church, but there's also opportunities to serve outside of church, right? In our homes. Are we, you know, as a husband, this is something that's challenging for me, right? As a husband, am I serving my wife, right? As a father, am I serving my kids, you know? Like Brandon keeps pointing out, as a neighbor, am I serving my neighbors? Probably not, because I don't have. I just like giving Brandon a hard time for pointing things out to me. You know,
that's my job. That's what I do.
So Richard, you don't know, but I'll share. But so when we first started the podcast, I used to say neat a lot. So Brandon used to count how many times I would say neat on each episode. So be like, dude, this time you said it 6 times, or this time you said it 8 times, right? He's like, you need to expand your vocabulary.
Okay, well.
He's reading a thesaurus on it.
There's a lot of different words. And we had another conversation saying you could put it back. I said you could say neat now, because now you use cool too much. But it's fine. You can do that. Just there in the very beginning, it was like,
I'm going to borrow that.
100%. It's
neat.
It's totally fine. That's okay.
So I'm just giving Brandon a hard time because he likes to point things out to me.
It was just odd at the time when it started. You can do it now. You can say neat as much as you want, whatever.
Back and listen to it again, and I was just like, wondering what I was saying, like how I said it. I think about that all the time, too.
Yeah, so me being not on the podcast, I'm just listening to Damon all the time. Like, oh, man, he said that like 4 times. But whatever. It's fine. You can say neat. Curse yes. Broken.
So it went from like neat to like super cool to like so to like, yeah.
I'm just trying to refine your encyclopedia.
We're just trying to make the podcast as good as it can be. So thank you, Brandon. I appreciate you for helping to improve the quality of the podcast.
Amazing. That's awesome.
Extraordinary.
Fantastic. There's a lot of other adjectives you can use other than neat. Just saying.
Yeah, one day he actually gave me a list of words that had all these different
He didn't
ways
use any of them. He said cool. He said cool. But anyway,
I got to make sure it's still me, right?
Also like, true. Very
the
true.
The podcast has to be genuine. I can't
also
just
true.
Very be true. Fake and fake the whole thing, right? So. Anyway, we're coming up on an hour right now. So do you guys have any closing words that you'd like to say before we end this episode?
Pastor Sam alluded to it in his message. If you have not read The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer, highly recommend. Just jump on Amazon. It's like, oh, I don't read books. Perfect. Like, it's like a good book for you to read. If you ever listen to him speak, he writes how he speaks. It's if you feel like you're overly busy or there are things in your life that you want to slow down in, he gives very practical suggestions. Shout out to Mimo. Like, I'm not stealing anything. Like, Mimo got me on it. And so it's been very life-changing for me. And so if availability really impacted you this week or upcoming weeks, I definitely highly recommend. It's a bright, orangish-looking book.
Which he has in his hand right now.
Yeah, I skimmed over it this morning for today. But highly recommend. It's very, very helpful. If you want more information, don't talk to me. Talk to Mimo. This is like her life story for the past 10 years. Talk to her about it.
And if you don't like reading books, I have a child, I'm not going to say which one, that has read this book already. So it's easy enough that a child can read it. So it's an easy read.
So what you're saying is no excuses. You should read this book is what you're really saying.
I'm just saying don't let it being a book be something that's a deterrent, because it's a quick read. It's
a very easy read.
Not, yeah. It's not difficult to read. The concepts are not difficult. But it's funny that you mentioned Mimo, because man, I just really feel like yesterday it was like Mimo's voice coming out of Sam's body. And then right now, as you're talking and giving props to Jean-Marc Homer, is like, man, this is Mimo's voice coming out of Brandon's body. And for all of you guys that are thinking like me, don't worry, because later this week, the plan right now is to have Mimo come on.
Yeah.
And so we will probably try to release two episodes this week with Mimo coming on. So Mimo, I know you're going to listen to this. Yes, you're coming on. So now you can't back out.
You're booked.
Yeah. All right, how about for you, Richard?
I guess in the segment we were talking about just serving. And like I was saying before, I just, all those that are listening, just encourage you to ask that question. You know, hey, where is the Lord leading you? You know, and I think that's important too, and that's where God has taken our church, God has taken our ministry into a whole new place. So, you know, be a part of that. You know, be a part of that and see what God has for you. You know, I think that's important. It's a good question to ask, you know.
All right. Well, thanks, guys, for coming on. Appreciate you. And, just excited as we continue to go through this series on serving and just the ways that the Lord is leading us, kind of like Richard said, the ways that the Lord is leading us to examine where he wants us, right? And this is a good time for us to be, as a church, kind of introspective and being able to recognize the ways that the Lord is shaping us and the areas that the Lord is leading us to serve in. So thanks again.
Man, I'm always excited to be here. And I'm telling you, this is it right here.
I was secretly hoping you were going to change the intro music because of my last request, but you didn't do it, so I'm slightly disappointed.
I listened to that. I was dying when you said that. I was like, bro, this music is the best, man.
But
the music is good for a year, Brandon. Okay, so wow. We will change the music next year. Too bad it's only February, so you got to listen to this for 10 more months.
40 more weeks to complain.
Please. I hope your want is a more upbeat tempo. One's nice.
we'll discuss. I have 40 weeks to find your new music. Don't worry.
Okay, so this is where, right, like, Brandon has a concern.
This is me getting involved.
He can either just put it on me to fix it, or he can help me out and he can address the concern and share some options for music for next year.
I got 9 months to plan it out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks again. And thanks to Joanna for being our pitch in for when Richard can't remember some of the details. But this was a fun episode. So thanks, guys, for coming out.
Thanks for having us.
Until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.